Our first speaker certainly, I think, has to juggle work-life balance, and hopefully she'll tell us how to do it. It's Emma Tracy. Emma is a totally blind, and she has a young son. She's a journalist. She writes features, she makes podcasts, and she does live video interviews for the BBC News website. At home, she looks after her son with the help of her husband. She runs the house. She's an addict to social media. She likes gadgets. And she combines all these things to plan her daily life. So, Emma, I feel quite tired hearing about all the things you do. But over to you, and welcome.
Thank you very much, Sandra. That introduction makes me sound like I have a lot of things going on, which I do. And all of them seem to involve technology in some way. As Sandra said, I'm a BBC News journalist. I do Facebook Live videos and podcasts and features about disability mostly. So I talk about this stuff all the time. And then I'm a mum, and my son is 16 months old, so that's been quite a big learning curve for me, but technology has been with me all the way through. And in my ear, I'm not actually listening to music at the minute or taking a call. I'm using my probably filthy smartphone to read my notes, because I will forget things. But that is a huge part of my life. It's always near me, usually somewhere high or down the back of my top or something at the moment, so that the toddler can't grab it off me to watch YouTube or something like that. So I suppose I'm mostly talking today about being a mum and the high and low tech things that we do in our house to get by. And before I became a mum, I obviously had to get pregnant. That's the way it works, apparently. Usually, obviously. So even then, when I thought I might be, I took a test. And then a couple of weeks later, I wanted to make sure I was pregnant, but I didn't want to let my husband know that I was quite so neurotic, so I wanted to do it by myself. And I used an app which every blind person in the room will probably know, and it's called TapTapSee. Now, this is an identification app, and I think it's free nowadays. It used to be paid for, I think it's now free. So I had done my research, and I'd recognised that this is something I could do. Like, I mean, I want to definitely say just now that I've called the piece Parenting Hacks. Almost none of them are mine. Almost all of them came from somebody else over time, and I'll tell you more about the places they've come from as I go along. So TapTapSee, you take a photo of something. In this case, it was a digital pregnancy test. And taking a photo as a blind person can be a little bit of a trial, but, you know, it's hit and miss. And the photo goes into the cloud, and volunteers, wherever they are, see the photo, and they type what they see, and that text comes back into the app. So I was able to, on my own, single-handedly, take a pregnancy test and be told by an app on my phone that it was positive. And that was a huge reassurance for me. It was a massive, massive deal, really. And I feel wider, you know, for blind women who maybe don't want to tell people they're pregnant for a little while, maybe don't know if they want to be pregnant, if they're single. You have the option to go into a pharmacy or to go to the doctor, but really and truly, it's such a huge thing to be able to take your pregnancy test by yourself. It's a real autonomy thing. So once I found out I was pregnant, I got on the bus to work, got my phone out again, and immediately started to look for apps where I could get as much information as possible about what was going to happen to me. So I found some inaccessible ones, I'm not going to name and shame, but the one that I settled on was the Baby Center, My Pregnancy and Baby Today app. And I found it better than having, you know, a lot of parents use sort of what to expect when you're expecting or what to expect in the first year. I do read ebooks, and I find they've done such amazing things for blind people and our access to books. But I wanted something I could dip in and out of really, really, really easily and not have to find the page and find the spot. So the app just gave me little pieces of information about pregnancy every day. And then when he was born, little information about what I should be doing and what I shouldn't be doing, which obviously gives you the guilt as well. But, you know, so I used that a lot. But the other thing that was in there was message boards baked into that app. And I used to use it. I used to let the sighted mums do the legwork that I was not as easily able to do. So I'd look up where the best maternity clothes were, and they'd, you know, they'd be just saying, "Oh, I've just been to Primark and they've got this," or "I've just been to Next and they've got this." And that made my life that bit easier. And, you know, talk about gadgets. But then for my blind mum specific needs, I don't know if you know this, but every blind potential mum and blind mum ought to, because it's the most wonderful resource I used, Blind Mums Connect. It's a support organisation for blind mums. It's got a Facebook group. It's got a WhatsApp group where you can send each other voicemails. So when he was born, when we were breastfeeding during the night, we'd be sending each other voicemails asking about this and that and the other. And that was massively helpful. An email list and Skype groups every month. So the first one I joined was Bumps and Babies. And that just gave me all the other, it's just helping each other. It's a self-help group, and it's just marvellous. You know, people told me the buggies you can pull, because I wouldn't be able to push a buggy because I'm fully blind. So I was going to pull one behind me, and I knew exactly which ones. But mostly I was going to carry him, so they were great on ideas for which carriers were best and which slings were best. And just hugely, hugely beneficial. So I still go on Skype groups with Blind Mums Connect every single month now to talk about things like how to keep tabs on a running toddler who can see more than myself and my husband put together. So that's my challenge at the minute, and they're helping me with that as well. Let me see, what have I said next? Baby brain, 6 months later maybe. So I guess as I went through the pregnancy, near the end of the pregnancy, I went to a baby event, and that gave me a really good chance to feel and test things. And I suppose what I hadn't considered was the fact that a lot of baby-related gadgets need to be used one-handed in the dark. So it actually turned out that a lot of things were accessible. We ended up going for a really cheap, simple monitor because some of them were a little bit tricky. Tested out the breast pump I was going to have, and just made sure I had one with really physical buttons, and was very, very easy to use, and I knew which bit I got someone to go through, which bit went where, and all that kind of stuff. So that was really, 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 really helpful. Now, the next few things are quite low-tech, actually. I don't know how low-tech we're allowed to be at TechShare, but when Tig was born, I suppose the big things for me, he had a lot of just reflux and colic and stuff like that, so I had to give him various medications. But he was so small as a newborn baby that none of the syringes you could get were big enough or small enough to just pull out the syringe to its full. So spoons were a no-go for me. I had no ability to get the spoonful out of the bottle and across and into his tiny mouth without it going absolutely everywhere. I didn't even try, to be honest with you, but I know from getting a spoon to my own mouth that it just wasn't going to happen. So the syringes, my mum became a bit of an occupational therapist for me, and she she got a little knife and she put grooves at the point that I needed to pull the syringe out to. And that was, it's such a low, low tech thing, but that was an amazing help. And also I used just the sterilizing fluid and in a big Tupperware thing. I tried sterilizers and stuff like that, but she just put a groove at the 5 liter mark. So I knew where to fill the container with water to put the tablet in. And they were tiny, tiny, tiny things, but they made a massive difference to me. And they continue to. I continue to use syringes. And I actually got a great tip from a parents, Dave and Emma Williams, if anybody knows them, great blind parents that we nag a lot for info and tips and stuff. And they said, if you were doing bottles, I wasn't doing bottles at the beginning, but they said, when you're doing bottles, especially if you're traveling, get a massive syringe, a 30 mil one from a vet supply store, so an animal syringe, and use that, because that's about an ounce per syringe full. And because talking scales are accurate, talking measuring jugs, sorry, RNIB, I think it's cobalt to make them actually, not accurate. And everyone who cooks who's blind will tell you that. So the scales are accurate enough, but it's fiddly. But if you have a 30 mil syringe and you count your baby's formula in millilitres, it's a perfect way to do it. Absolutely perfect. What we did is we went one step further, and when we finished breastfeeding and started using bottles, we did get a gadget. And I don't think there's another one on the market. So I think it's okay to say it's the Tommy Tippy Perfect Prep Machine. And my husband's here, and that's his favourite thing in the whole world, is this gadget. But it's accessible. It has one dial and one button. And you do have to scoop the formula in, but that's okay because everyone has to do that, and it's just about doing a level spoonfuls, and that's totally feely. Well, you know, you get the idea of it. You get used to how to do that. But the machine, you turn the knob to how many ounces of water you want, and you hit the button that's on the knob, and it fills it up. It fills up a bit of hot, very 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 hot water into the bottle. Then you scoop. You've got 2 minutes to scoop your number of ounces of formula in, and then you hit the button again, and it tops it up, and that changed our lives, actually. That was, my mother would also really, really say that was great. And it's a mainstream gadget, but it, you know, for a sighted person, they can just look at the outside of the bottle, fill the bottle, it's no big deal. But for us, having a machine that just did that for us, you know, it was, forget Tassimo coffee machines or anything like that. That was our countertop gadget of the season last year, for sure. Just one thing I forgot to say about the syringes and stuff, Braille on packaging, which was something that was introduced into Europe in the last few years. That was a massive help, as long as people put the bottles back into the boxes, because most of the Braille is on the boxes. If people leave the bottles out of the boxes, then I'm back to tap-tap-sy again, and I've got a crying baby waiting for his medication, and I'm trying to take photos, and I'm taking them upside down and taking them over the wrong side of the wrong side of the label. So Braille on packaging doesn't seem like it makes a massive difference, but even if you can't read Braille, to have tactile markings on the packaging, it's going to feel different depending on which medication you use. So paracetamol, ibuprofen, the Braille words look very different. So if you're a blind, or feel very different, I should say, if you're a blind person who doesn't read Braille, you could still know the difference between the two boxes, and that massively, massively, massively helpful. We have a talking thermometer. I'm not entirely happy with how accurate it is, so I do tend to get help with that. But then I think you know when your child's got a temperature. I think it's pretty self-explanatory anyway. Colour detector, I do use it for sorting the washing, because again, it's not accurate enough for actually matching up outfits. So when I have the luxury of eyes, I get somebody to come in and peg a few outfits together just for, you know, public viewings. Otherwise, it's the, you know, random t-shirt, random jeans, but they're all basically blue, so it's absolutely fine. He can wear pink if he wants. He's welcome to do that, and he can wear any colour he wants when he has a choice. So that takes us up to, let me see. Oh yes, so again, I'm back to the low tech things, and something that maybe people are up and down on is a playpen, and some people think it's a good idea, some people don't. I got a really sturdy one. I did a lot of research, and it is my safe space for him. So if I have a gate on my kitchen for cooking, because I don't feel comfortable having a child anywhere near if there's hot things around. So it's a great gate. He doesn't see it as a punishment or as a problem. He just throws things across it, and, you know, throws balls and stuff, so that I'm going around on my hands and knees around the kitchen. Dear goodness, people, get balls with bells in them if you're going to get balls. Otherwise, you'll never be able to find them. So I have a playpen, and I use it for when I need to take the dog out. I have a guide dog. When I need to take the dog out, or when I need to do something that I cannot have him with me to do, and it's not going to happen in the kitchen. And usually when I get back from doing it, he's happily playing in there, so I'll run and get his breakfast or something like that. I'll use my opportunity. But I think it was one of the biggest things we did that made a big difference, was the playpen as a safe space. We'd moved in, by the time we got the playpen, we'd moved into an old house new to us, which we didn't know at the time, but needed a new boiler. Therefore, we got a new heating system. You're wondering where I'm going with this, right? But we got a Wi-Fi enabled heating system. And I think we're going to talk a little bit more about that over the afternoon. But that's a big difference for me, because I'm sometimes on my own, and being able to manage the heating easily and the water temperature, that's made a big difference. That's a big independence for me, and I'm very appreciative of that. Staying with the low tech, I feel like I'm a bit non-technology here for this talk, but it's what works, and I think it's, I mean, can I just say that my phone has always been there for Googling. Don't Google your child's ailments. I think everybody knows that. Never a good idea. FaceTime for my mum or my husband to check, you know, spaghetti bolognese dinners don't always go to plan, and you might need someone to just say, yeah, there's a big blob of tomato sauce on the television, Emma, you might want to take that off. So FaceTime, really, really, really helpful. Obviously Skype as well. And I'm trying not to be brandy because I'm a BBC person, so I'm trying to say other things are available, you know. But yeah, FaceTime, basically. So, always there, always the message boards for help, always my blind mums on hand, really, really important. So then we started weaning. So we started introducing Tadhg to food. And we had discovered by then that he had allergies, because that's what all the reflux and colic was about when he was a baby, all the discomfort. The problem with that is that it's dairy and eggs. Everything has dairy and eggs or eggs. It's really, really hard for anybody to get it right. So one of the really important things for me were supermarket websites and apps, because they actually, I don't know if you know this, because I don't think everybody needs to check this all that much, that often, but they have the full list of ingredients for every product in there. And they also have how to cook them, which is really helpful too. But I spend a lot of time on going through, because even if the baby food is like carrot, apple and banana or something like that, you can't be sure that there isn't, you know, milk powder in there or something like that. So I spent a lot of time on these websites looking for the right ingredients. I didn't spoon feed. Again, spoon mouth thing, I wasn't confident with. So we started off by putting bits of food into his mouth and then put them on his tray, and he's just starting to use a spoon now. But got a really cheap high chair that's really easy to clean, so just very, it's just plastic. And that all, a lot of the blind mums suggested that, because any kind of cushions and things like that, the food just gets in and gets moldy and festers, and you have enough going on. Because once the child's out of the high chair, you need to be watching the child, and you don't have time to be kind of scrubbing and cleaning. And a mat on the floor, a really good tip we got was foil mats on the floor, because when the food drops / gets thrown, you can hear it falling. So you can hear it falling on the foil. Amazing little solution. Just buy a big heap of them, or steal the foil wrap things that you get at long sponsored walks and things like that. And really, really handy for the floor. I didn't do that. We didn't do that. So where are we now? I don't know what time I'm at now. I haven't heard any warning yet, so I'll keep going. For a couple of minutes, great. For if I'm not able to stay after, but if you've got questions, I'm on Twitter at Emma J Tracy, TRACEY. Feel free to tweet me, and emma.tracy@bbc.co.uk if you want to send me an email. So, to heat up the food, talking microwave, the gadget with the least useful phrase ever, door open. So when you open the door of the talking microwave, it says door open, and it says door closed in a very loud voice when your baby's asleep, and that's not great. But it does tell you, it does talk, and it does tell you the times and all that. So heating and reheating safely, of course, follow all the guidelines. Talking microwave is really, really, really helpful. And again, at the risk of being very brandy, we have our other favourite gadget in the house is our, you know, these multi-cookers where you can like steam and make things and cook things and slow cook things and fast cook things. We have the Sage multi-cooker, and it's not cheap. We got it we used our wedding present money to buy it. But it's just for big, well, now that I'm back at work and we need to make meals in advance, it's got a slow cooker. It's got a steamer as well. It's got a risotto maker, rice cooker, blah, blah, blah. But it is a pot. It does all these things, but it has just one row of one-use buttons on the front. So there's no dials, no screens, nothing. Each function has its own button. When you press it, it beeps, yes! And that's just brilliant, absolutely great. It's got a stop-start button, and we wouldn't be without it. We use it all the time. I mean, if you're just looking for a slow cooker, you can get, you know, a 20 quid one from anywhere that just has one button, two buttons on. So, you know, it doesn't have to be the Sage, but that's the one we have, and that's the one that we use. Where are we now? So we're into 20, in my timeline. I was supposed to do a timeline, but I'm just a waffler, so I just waffled. But we're into 2016 now in my list, in my timeline. The Clear Vision Project, I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a library where they send you out books with Braille on. Really great. I've just started using them, but they've sent me out appropriate books. You can't choose the books because they don't have a big enough library to for everybody to choose what they need. They are a charity as well. So they're just board books with Braille on them, and we've started reading to him. I mean, he already likes books from all the other people reading to them, and the really simple ones that we have that I know what's in them. But this is a start of a really good new chapter for me. And the research, and there's been a lot of research recently that says that they shouldn't watch TV till they're two, but actually that doesn't happen, right? So I actually said yesterday that I think my mastermind subject, I think it used to be, would have been disability. I think it would now be CBeebies 2015, 2016. But the audio description on the television or on the iPlayer is great, because when we are watching some TV and we're sitting together, the audio describe guy will say three ducks. And I'll say, how many ducks are there? Can you see the ducks? And it's just, it adds another level of me knowing what's going on the screen. And it means, if I could have that fella walking around with me all the time, actually, that'd be really good for like walks to the park and stuff like that. That's going to be dead handy. Maybe we can look at that. But yeah, so the audio description on the TV does make a huge difference. And I mean, he'll grow up with it and he'll see it as normal. Because I know the rest of my family, when they hear it on the telly, they're like, get that off, what's that? Whereas I'm really pleased that he will always know it's there and he'll know what it's for. And it works, it just works really, really well for us. Now, I'll just quickly, before I finish, tell you about some more little low-tech things that we do. Now that he's running and jumping and climbing and things, I use, you know, the bells that you can put on your purse so that you can take it out of your bag easily. I pop those on his belt loops. So like 50p or something there. And they're just great because they're fine because I can hear when he's running around. But even more importantly, I can actually hear when he's not running around. So when he is silent, because that's when you need to be more concerned. I have a lovely woman in my toddler group, a lady from India, brought me back some squeaky shoes. And they're great for outside, and they're great for the toddler group because every step he takes is squeak, 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 squeak. And he loves them because they make a silly sound, and they're cute little shoes as well. Another thing that people are up and down on are reins. I have a little backpack for him, which he actually loves, because the childminder introduced it to him really early, and I was really pleased because she uses it every time she's outside with him. She uses the reins all the time. But it's just a little backpack so he can put his own thing into it, so he might have his little drink in it, or I don't make him carry his own stuff, but it's just a little pocket that, it, you know, actually the last time I saw it had a nappy in it, an emergency nappy. But it's got a piece of cord coming out of it with a little loop at the end that I put through my hand. And it just means that I'm connected to him without him necessarily being totally, fully and overly aware that I am connected to him. So he has a little bit of freedom. So maybe on the beach or in the park, he can run. And as long as I'm sort of keeping up with him and stopping when he stops, it works really well. I still carry them a lot. I carry them in structured carriers. There's a million of them around. You need to really see someone who knows what they're doing to tell you which one suits best for your needs. But yes, I think that's it. I think I'm probably at the end of my time, so there's probably no time for physical questions. But as I say, you can tweet me or whatever, Emma J. Tracy, if you want to know anything else, or just to say hello, that's fine. And thank you very much for listening to me, and I've really enjoyed giving this talk, so thank you very much.